Romans chapter 8 and verse number 32. Thank Mrs. Ravert for singing today, and thank you for all that brought baked goods for our veterans outreach this past Friday. 170 veterans received baked goods as well as gospel tracts and a note thanking them for serving our country. And I appreciate those of you that were involved in that. What a blessing. Remember to pray for Pastor Malucci, Brother Frank Broughton, Jason Rarick over in Bulgaria this morning, or whatever time it is over there, serving the Lord, helping Nick Malucci with the Black Sea Independent Baptist Church there in Varna, and also another church plant in Bulgaria, as well as trying to establish something in the country of Turkey. And they'll be back on the 19th. You want to keep them in prayer. I was listening to Dr. Harvey Springer preach on CD. Of course, he's been with the Lord since 1966. It's been a long time since he's been around, 45 years. I guess he died ago, Dr. Springer. But in the message that he was preaching on, listening on a CD, he mentioned that the Bible has approximately 36,000 promises in it. It's a book of promises. And I don't know if it's that many or not. I've never counted them. But what an amazing book the Bible is. And every promise in the book is true. And the Apostle Paul one time wrote by the Holy Ghost, all the promises of God in him are yea and amen to the glory of God. As far as I'm concerned, I want to look at one of the greatest promises that I know of in all of the Bible today. This verse, Romans 8 and verse number 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? What a promise. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? God is saying here, look, if I gave you my son, I'll give you everything else. Everything else is a lesser grace. Everything else is a lesser mercy. If I gave you my son, I'm not going to hold back anything else from you. I won't hold back anything else from you. And I like that word freely. How shall he not with him, how shall he not with Christ freely give us all things? Oh, we ought to claim the promises of God for ourselves individually by faith. And this is one of the greatest promises you'll ever read in the book. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. I want to speak this morning on this subject included in the price of admission. Included in the price of admission. Jesus paid the price for our admission into heaven. He shed his blood on the cross. He died in our place. He was crucified so we could be saved from our sins. And when we receive Christ as our Savior, we receive a ticket to heaven, if you will, that was solely purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not any works that we did, no merit of our own. God didn't give it to us because we earned it or worked for it or somehow achieved some special favor and deserved it. No, he paid for the ticket. You know, recently I took a trip, my wife and I, to Georgia and South Carolina, and to be quite honest with you, I'll keep it private, but our airplane tickets were paid for us. It didn't cost us a dime. And with the airplane tickets come some amenities that go along with it. You know, your luggage and your little bags of peanuts and your drink and so on and so forth. The bathroom if you need it, amen. There's things that came and were included in the price of admission. I heard the story one time of a pastor who preached often, in fact, every week it was his lot, to leave his church on a Monday and fly. He had become quite a famous preacher, and to fly to some other city, some other town, and preach at a church on Monday and Tuesday, then he'd be back at his church on Wednesdays and so on. And so he was a frequent flyer. He did it all of his life, and as he was getting on board of a plane one time, it was probably a smaller one, 727 or something, and three seats on one side of the aisle, three seats on the other. And a businessman sat near the aisle, and he sat in the middle seat, And next to him by the window was a man, if I got the story right, goes something like this, a man who had never, ever flown before, and the preacher sat down next to him. I guess it was a little distance, it must have been quite a distance, the flight, because they were serving a meal on the flight, and pretty soon the flight attendants came down the aisle and they asked them what would they like for their meal. I don't know what it was, maybe turkey or roast beef or something like that. And she asked the businessman on the aisle and he said turkey or whatever. And they asked the preacher and he said roast beef. And then they said to the fellow at the window, and what would you like for your dinner? And he said, I'll pass. No, thank you. And the pastor thought it was a little bit strange, but maybe the guy just wasn't hungry, didn't want to eat or something. A little while later, the flight attendants came with the food, and the flight attendant gave the businessman in the aisle his turkey dinner, and then she gave the preacher his roast beef dinner or whatever it was, and then she went on to the other rows and so on and so forth. And as he began to eat his roast beef dinner, the guy by the window leaned over to him and asked this question. He said, how much does it cost? And the preacher said, what? And he said, the meal. How much does the meal cost? And the preacher said, it's included with the price of the ticket. It's free. It's given freely as part of your plane ride. And you know, that story, we kind of feel a little sadness for that fellow. It was his first time. He didn't know. And yet that story so well illustrates how it is for so many believers in Jesus Christ who know the Lord. And they have received God's precious gift of eternal life. They're going to heaven someday. But there's a whole lot more he wants to give us before we go to heaven. And it's all free. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? We ought not to be living like paupers in Christ's kingdom, in Christ's family. We ought to be living like kings and like queens and princes and taking advantage of all the things that come with this precious, wonderful gift of eternal life. Just as salvation cannot be purchased by any amount, it was purchased by God and given to us for free. So there are so many other things attached to this gift of eternal life that we can enjoy freely, but we've got to reach out and take them. God will not withhold them from us. He wants us to enjoy so much more besides just salvation. The meal is free. And the lesser things are all included in the price of admission. I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 in the New Testament. How can we know all these other things that are freely given to us? And we need to claim them by faith and pray that the Lord would give them to us and just receive them and enjoy the ride. Enjoy from this day until eternity and all the things that God wants to give us for free. Notice, we have been given the Holy Ghost. And notice in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, one of the things the Holy Ghost wants to show us. It says this, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Why have we received the Holy Ghost? So he could teach us, look, okay, we gave you salvation, but let me show you a whole bunch of other things that you can receive freely of God. It's kind of like getting this big, huge box, big gift for Christmas. And you say, wow, I wonder what kind of a gift is in the box. And then you find out it's not singular, it's plural. What kind of gifts are in the box? And you open the big box up, and there's just dozens and dozens of small little presents all over the inside of the box. And this goes with the big box, this goes with the big box, this goes with, and you just start opening them, and it gets better. It's like the greatest gift you ever had, a gift full of gifts. All purchased by somebody else, all wrapped up by somebody else, all presented to you, and you can receive them freely. You don't say to somebody at Christmas, how much do you want for it? You just receive all those gifts. And I fear that some of us in the body of Christ are not receiving freely of all the things God wants to give us. And so the Holy Ghost is given to us here in verse 12 that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He does not want us to be ignorant of a whole bunch of other things besides salvation that come with the gift of eternal life that you can have for free. That you can have for free. I think of grace. Amen. That comes with the gift. We're saved by grace, but there's also living grace and there's dying grace. Turn to Romans chapter 5, if you would, for a minute here, and verse number 2. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 2. The Bible says in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's not forget about peace. Verse 1, amen. You don't have to pay for peace. That's freely given to us when we're saved, when we trust Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's something we didn't have before we were saved. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Before we were saved, it says the wrath of God already abode upon us. We didn't have to wait till judgment day for condemnation. He that believeth not is condemned already. John 3:18, we were condemned already. And we were at variance with God. We were enemies of God, but Christ made peace for us with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. It comes with the price of admission. Peace with God. How valuable is that? Aren't you glad God's not mad at you anymore? Aren't you glad you're saved and he's not angry with you anymore? We have peace. But look at verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I want you to notice something else that comes freely with salvation by faith. It gives us access into this grace. This grace, this is God's power. This is God's enablement. This is God's mighty working on the inside of us so that we can do what God wants us to do, go where God wants us to go, be where God wants us to be. This is the power of God that works in us, that transforms us and sets us free from ourselves, sets us free from sin. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. The Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. He said, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Boy, look at all the things that grace did for Paul. It changed him. And boy, if there was ever a guy that needed to be changed, it was Paul. When he got saved, even the church didn't believe it. They didn't want to receive him into the membership. They knew his reputation before he was saved. They said, man, we don't want that guy around us at all. He's violent. He's angry. He wreaked havoc on the church. He hailed our fathers and our mothers into prison, and he gave his stamp of approval on the death of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Don't tell us he's saved. But one guy stood up, Barnabas, and said, this guy got it. This guy got it. He's been converted by Christ. And it took Barnabas to introduce. I mean, this guy was changed. Man, if there was ever a guy that was changed, it's no wonder later in his writings he called himself the chief of sinners. He said, I was a blasphemer. He says, I was injurious to the church. He says, but I found grace. I found Christ, and Christ met me on that road to Damascus, and I've never been the same since because with knowing Christ came freely the grace of God upon me. And Paul, probably most of us would agree, became the greatest Christian that ever walked the earth, and he said it was all by the grace of God, and that was given to him freely. Grace is bestowed upon us. It's not something we earn or work for. It's something God bestows upon us. And we have access into this grace by faith. And some of us, it says sadly in the Bible, have failed ourselves of the grace of God. We're confused. We think God failed us. No, we failed ourselves of the grace. We failed to avail ourselves of His power, of His strength, of His might, of His enablement. We failed the grace of God. It didn't fail us. We need, it says in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It doesn't matter what time of need you're in. It may be the worst time of need in your life. If you'll go to the throne of grace, fall on your knees before God and say, oh, God, give me your grace. Give me your power. I can't make it through this without you. God's grace will not fail you during this season in your life. It's freely given. It's freely given at the throne. And oh, grace opens the doors to so much more. In John 1 and verse 16, it says this, and of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. When we receive Christ as our Savior, He gives us grace for more grace, for more grace, for more grace. And man, you would not believe how much God can put on one man. Or one woman, and they can stand and be a wonderful testimony of the grace of God. And everybody else on earth will look at him or her and say, how do they do it? How do they do it? They have availed themselves of what is freely given, grace for grace. You see, it's kind of like going through school. We start in kindergarten, this thing of grace. And then it gives us enough grace to go through the first grade of life and the second grade of life and the third grade of life and so on and so forth. God doesn't take some kid in kindergarten and try teaching them calculus. All right? But eventually that kid's going to learn calculus, trigonometry, algebra, and so on as he grows in knowledge. And it's the same thing with grace. I've seen preachers with ministries of thousands and thousands of people. I just scratched my head and say, how does he, I couldn't endure one day of that. I couldn't last for a day. You know how they make it? By the grace of God. God kept giving them grace. And there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. God will give you grace for the season you're going through right now in your life so that those watching you will see God's grace didn't fail him or her. You may be going through the biggest hurts in your life right now or the biggest season, longest season of darkness. It's not always light. And you're wondering, how in the world am I going to get through this? But if you'll just cry out for the grace of God, He'll sustain you. His grace will be sufficient. That's free. Grace is free with salvation. I think of the fruit of the Spirit today. It's what everybody's looking for. And it's free. He that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us? You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's what the whole world's looking for. That's what they're running to the stores trying to find and buy for Christmas. We can have it for free. You can be so broke you don't have two nickels together to rub together, but you can have love, and you can have joy and peace to help you in your relationship with God. And you can have long-suffering and gentleness and goodness to help you with your relationship with man, and faith and meekness and temperance to help you live with yourself. You know what's sad? It's to see a person who can't even live with himself, let alone live with someone else. And all the time, God freely gives us, if you want it, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. so you can live with yourself, so you can live with anybody on earth, and so you can live with God. It's all free. We've got to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit. Well, I think of satisfaction. I think of how satisfaction is free. People are trying alcohol. People are trying drugs, pornography, perversion. All kinds of physical intimacy, dating, boyfriends, girlfriends, trying sports and trying this and that and hobbies and crafts and all kinds of things to find satisfaction. You know why they're doing it? For satisfaction. They're not satisfied. Young people today, sadly, are vacating the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today in search of satisfaction. And all the time it's found in the person of Christ. And it's free. One of the most famous verses in all of the Bible. You know it. It says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." That's satisfaction. Shall not want. And there are people who are vacating the church, abandoning the Lord, thinking that some certain amount of money that they can earn will bring satisfaction, some certain amount of education they can attain will bring satisfaction, some certain amount of pleasure they can become involved in will bring some sort of a satisfaction, and they're finding a pseudo-satisfaction and a pseudo-pleasure in the world which just lasts for a very, very short season, but then they find themselves miserable and empty and ashamed and embarrassed and guilty and feeling convicted and just as empty, and so they say, well, there must be something else out there I've got to try to find satisfaction, when all the time any one of us can have it for free. The Lord is my shepherd. Not your Savior, your shepherd, if you'll follow the Lord. You'll be so satisfied. Listen, I have seen men, and there's nothing wrong with these things, please. Don't misunderstand me. But I've seen men in this church and other churches give up hunting, give up fishing, give up golfing, give up sports, give up overtime, pursuing money. I've seen it, give it all up. And just in talking to them, there's nothing wrong with some of those things. Hey, you didn't go hunting this year. Nah. I just enjoy my Bible now. I just enjoy the Lord now. And it's kind of one of the more trivial things. It doesn't do for me what it used to do for me. And I've seen people, ladies give up their soap operas, their romance novels, all that kind of stuff, and just say, just the beggarly elements of this world. Doesn't do anything. Christ satisfies me. Christ the satisfier. It's free. Man, by the time I was 22 years of age, I think I tried everything in this world. I'm ashamed to say that. Sinful, vile. I was one wreck of a human being. I'll say that the rest of my life. At 22 years of age, I just laid my life at the altar and said, Lord, you get the rest of my life. It's yours. And I've never gone back on that decision. I wish I'd have done more for him, but I've never recanted on the decision to give my life to the Lord when I was 22. And since I made that decision, Christ is just getting better and better and better. And I'm so much more satisfied. I had a teenager stump me one time with a question. Just stumped me. My mind went blank. They said, Pastor Cole, what do you do for fun? And my mind went blank. I couldn't answer the question. And I finally said to them, you know something, I don't do anything for fun. I have joy. Why should I settle for fun, or why should I pursue fun when I have joy? Joy is so much better. It's so much deeper. Fun, you can go to Splash Lagoon, Cedar Point, Darien Lake, ride go-karts, jump out of airplanes. You can do whatever you want for fun. It'll be over in a day. Then you have to do something else. But I've been drawn from this well of God's joy for so long. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's so deep. And I tried a whole lot of things for fun in my life one time. And I ended up being miserable. Oh, I had little flashes of ethereal experiences from stuff I did. But boy, it leaves you empty on the inside. And this joy is free. Young people, you don't have to leave church. You don't have to walk away from the Lord and then in your 40s or 50s or 60s finally come to the conclusion, wow, this stuff doesn't satisfy. You don't have to do that. You can just enjoy the presence of the Lord, and He'll satisfy you so much through every age you live in. Don't miss out on anything. You'll feel sorry for them. You'll feel sorry for the fun seekers. And you'll say, I wish they knew the joy of the Lord they could have. In Proverbs 14 and verse number 10, the Bible says this, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. A stranger doesn't intermeddle. He doesn't realize that there's joy there that he can intermeddle with, and he's a stranger to it. He's a stranger to God. He's a stranger to the Bible. He might know Christ as his Savior, but he doesn't realize that it's included in the ticket. It's included in the price of admission. It's part of the meal. I heard about a man, and I'd like you to turn in closing to Luke chapter 15. Closing doesn't mean I'm almost done, by the way, if you... Luke chapter 15. I want to tell this story, and then I want to look at a Bible story, and then we'll pray. There was a man who was up in years, and his dear wife died. And he was devastated, and it was so hard for him to live without his dear wife. They'd been married so long. His kids got together and thought, well, maybe he could, maybe it'd be nice if he just took a Caribbean cruise. And so they all got together, surprised him for Christmas. I don't know all the details, but they purchased for him a Caribbean cruise. And he went down to Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, wherever you get on the cruises. He went on a Caribbean cruise. To their horror, the children found out later after the cruise that as he was packing for the cruise, he filled his luggage with boxes of crackers and peanut butter. And as he went on the cruise, every time the other people on the cruise went to the huge banquets, and the food's out all day, they never put the food away. For breakfast and lunch and supper and so on and so forth, as everybody went to the huge banquets and just feasted on the food, he would go back to his room and he'd get out some crackers. He'd spread a little peanut butter on them and he'd eat the crackers, and he did that for the whole cruise. He did not know that the food was part of the price of the admission. Here's a fellow in the Bible just like it, in Romans 15. When you get to verse number 11, you read, sadly, a parable that's been called the parable of the prodigal son. It's sad that it's been labeled that because there's actually two sons in the story. We know all about the prodigal son. He became famous. He couldn't wait till his dad croaked. And so he said, I want the inheritance now. And so his father gave in, sadly, as some parents do, and divided the inheritance to both of his sons. Everything they had got coming to him. And just a few days later, the power of money overwhelmed this young man, and he went off into the far country, and he wasted his substance on riotous living, partying, women, drinking, and so on and so forth. And there are very, very few young people who can come under the power of money and endure it. Usually gets the best of them. But a strong man retaineth riches. Amen? We'll see what you're made of, young people, when you start coming into money. You're going to still stay close to God, honor the Lord, and tithes and offerings, stay in church, or are you going to bolt for this world and start spending your money on all the things out there that you can, that you think will satisfy, and they won't? We'll find out. And so he wasted everything. He ended up living in a pig pen, eating of the husks of the pigs, and he finally came to his senses and said, man, it was a lot better back when I was with my dad. I'm going to go back and say, Dad, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Just make me a servant on your farm. That's all I deserve. I'll just serve you the rest of my days. I don't need to be your son. And so he went back, and his father was watching for him. His father, when he saw him coming back, just the shell of the young man he used to be, he just ran and had compassion on him, fell on his neck, kissed him, cleaned him up, put a robe on his back and a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and he ordered that they killed the fatted calf, and he had a big feast for him. Big feast. You all know that story. There's another boy. And this is the boy that so many of us are like. This is the sermon today. So many of us are like the elder son in this story here. It says in verse 25, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was as happy as a young man could be. He was just so thrilled that his brother came to his senses, came back out of sin, came back home. Is that what it says in verse 28? That's how we should be as Christians. Praise God, somebody's back. He was angry. And he would not go in. See, the prodigal son's sins were all outward. You could see them. The drinking and the harlots and wasting his money. This guy's sins were inward. He was angry. Folks, they're just as bad. Just as bad. He was angry. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Therefore came his father. He wouldn't go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, and you see his murmuring, his jealousy, his self-righteousness here, his envy. He says to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son hath come, which hath devoured, and it's easy to gossip, isn't it, repeat someone else's sins, thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And verse 31 is the message this morning. Please get this. Try to process this spiritually in your own heart today. The father said to this elder son, son, listen to this. Thou art ever with me. Now get it. This is the sermon this morning. And all that I have is thine. I'm always with you, and everything I have is yours. But he missed it. So many of us are missing it. He that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Folks, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Have you claimed your inheritance today by faith? Or are you living like a beggar? Yeah, I'm saved, but I'm not getting much out of this. No, man, there are treasures in the Bible that are theirs for you to claim. There's treasures in your prayer life and mountains for you to move that are there for you to claim. And there's things God can do for you. Maybe your problems today are emotional. God can help you. Maybe they're mental. Maybe they're physical. Maybe it's healing and you can be healed if you'll just claim it by faith. Maybe it's a financial miracle you need. Have you gotten on your knees before God and said, "Oh God, help me. I've made a mess out of my life financially. Would you help me?" Maybe you're having marriage problems or maybe some other spiritual problem, some malady in your soul. Maybe you're cracking up. Maybe somebody here is thinking about suicide. All these things our Lord the healer can take care of. It's all in the price of admission. Man, you got to start claiming something more than salvation. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. Oh, how I love Psalm 84, verse 11. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. God has so much for you and so much for me. We've got to claim these things. The meal's free. The banquet's free. Some of you young people are not satisfied with Jesus. Don't confuse him with what you see in church. Have a personal relationship with him. Ask him for help. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, help us. We thank you so much. Lord, if all you ever did was gave your son for us, that would have been enough. But inside that gift called Jesus, there's so much more. There's just dozens and dozens and dozens of other things just waiting to be unopened by every believer to claim freely. Lord, you want to answer everybody's prayers that are here. You want to bring healing to our bodies. You want to heal us emotionally and mentally. You want to help our marriages, our finances. You want to help our children. You want our lost loved ones to be saved. So many things are promised that we just have got to claim. We've got to go to the banquet and enjoy the feast. We've got to order the meal and realize it's part of the price to be satisfied. Lord, help our young people. Some of them are thinking of leaving, or the only reason they come is because their parents make them. Lord, open their eyes to realize it's not church I'm talking about today. It's Christ, a personal walk with Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He satisfies. Help us. We pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to 541.